Namo Buddha, Namo Dhamma, Namo Sangha. Namo Buddha, Namo Dhamma, Namo Sangha. Namo Buddha, Namo Dhamma, Namo Sangha. Just a little reminder. As we breathe in and breathe out, which comes naturally. As we feel our body, which also comes naturally. As we hear and as we see. While all of that happens naturally, I invite you to direct your attention to that which makes all these experiences possible. If the I had to create all of that, it would really be in trouble. If the I had to take care of seeing, hearing, feeling, coordinating all of that, it would really be in trouble. A lot of work. To create the next moment of experience just now, even in all simplicity. Is there a creator behind the scene? Some people say it's the mind who creates all of that. Other people say it's God who creates all of that. The Buddhas, the enlightened masters, They have neither found a mind, nor did they find a God. And they haven't found a self, nor. How does all of that arise? How is that? A lot of it arises due to causes and conditions. We can see this to some extent. Is there anything that has not arisen from causes and conditions? In the Mahamudra tradition, we do not avoid such questions. We actually take them into our meditation. They sound very philosophical, but somehow lots of our beliefs are constructed around them. The way we deal with those questions, if you have such questions from time to time, the way to deal with them is to ask them and then not to give an answer. Only feel. No answers allowed. Only directly tuning in into that space which is opened by the question. The answers will come from conditioning, from belief systems. We are not out for that. We are not into discussing. If you want to know if a self exists or not, if a mind is there or not, look for it. But don't come quickly with questions or with answers. If you want to understand life, these are very essential aspects of life to understand. All the beliefs of our society have to be challenged. And these are some of the most basic ones. A self and a God separate from the self. Sometimes, even talking about the two uniting. When the Buddha was asked, he didn't say there is no self, and he didn't say there is no God. But he didn't say there is a self, nor did he say there is a God. And I mean, I always talk about the Buddha, but this is, I can talk about recent masters, same. I gave you some answers in the last days, but to become free, it is not convenient to believe the answers. You'll have to make sure for yourself. It was a dreadful time for me when my master was asking me us all these questions, many more than these. We had to answer them all from direct experience. And he wouldn't let us pass with just intellectual answers. No way. A little bit like the koans and the Zen tradition and the Rinzai Zen. One thing which I have learned from that, which is very helpful, is to sit with an attitude of not knowing. and to find your peace with not knowing, that's already a very good start. A very good opening for discovery. Let us breathe in and breathe out in that fluidity of not knowing, not being so sure. This is not the same as not caring. We care, but we don't take a position. We are very interested. And maybe we even pray, we ask to understand one day. I will give you a little help with the looking. You see, the way we search is usually we use our capacities to find something, somebody. When we look for the self, we look for something that could be called a self, an I. When we look for God, we look for somebody or something that could be called God. When we look for mind, we look for something that could be called mind. Our problem is that we always look for something definable, something which has the character of thingness, something with, you know, a place, a color, a form, something that you can define. And that brings a lot of problems. It already brings problems if we do this for our partner. If we think she is like that, or he is like that, and I know him, I know her. Oh, we will soon be wrong. Because, surprise, surprise, different. And this is with everything and everybody the same. Phenomena, whatever you are looking for, which are definable, cannot be found. To some extent, the outer world gives us a feeling of security there, but only as long as the conditions are stable. A little fire and the table is not a table anymore. Yeah, just a little change of circumstances. Now, all the more when we look for more subtle aspects of our experience, the so-called I or self, the mind, the soul, God, love, and so on. So when you search for these things, for this person, these somebodies, already you will be much more successful if you don't look for something solid. If you look for the forces which make up that what you are searching. You know, to search for mind is a little bit like searching for life. Where do you find life? Where do you find the weather? We have names for it. But what these names, these words describe, what is it actually? You have a name, I have a name. I will use myself as an example, this Tillmann. This was the name my parents chose. Little baby, call him Tillmann, very nice, very good Torah. All this life, Tillmann. Where is this Tillmann? I've been trying to find him. If I look for a somebody, and you do the same for you, you have to put your name now. Yeah, if you look for that somebody, whew. Now I'm this, then I'm that. And then the problem is not only my self-view, my self-experience changes, but then there are so many Tillmans as people looking at me. And they like me one day and they don't like me the other. They see me the same day in so many different ways. Which one of them am I? It's a little bit crazy what I'm doing with you, but yes, that's what we are talking about. Instead of creating an artificial stability, we become friends with a very dynamic universe. We are part of this dynamic universe. And in this dynamic universe, let's say, okay, we can talk about energy fields, maybe, you know, if someone likes modern physics, okay. We are talking about forces in operation, forces which group together. That's why we can talk about an energy field. Okay. But that doesn't make out of every idea an energy field. You can have ideas and they can go. Nothing is left. Except maybe some impulse which continues from that idea. So this is the meditator's job. The meditator's job is coming from a universe already where there were so many questions, but somehow things were in place. I am the daughter of so and so, and I have learned this and this, and huh? These are good views, these are not so good views, this is good behavior, this is not so good behavior. Things are pretty much in place. Then we start meditating, and as we meditate, we relax, our awareness becomes more fluid, and we begin to notice the many changes. Even without doing anything, just 1 hour of meditation on the cushion, and we change so much within that short period of time. It goes for different worlds of experience. Oof. Sometimes it's more stable. That's why people like samadhi. In samadhi, the world is more stable. It looks at like that. Less input. So people who like stability, then they like the dhyanas. Things are more stable. I also enjoyed them very much. But it's a little bit like a good car which is on the parking, you know? A good car which is not used, which can really do lots of things. But in a parking, staying there in samadhi, the potential of human life is not quite used. It is actually, well, it's a pity. The good thing is that when people come out of the samadhi, they have quite a bit of clarity. So they can look at life and they understand the dynamic nature. And then maybe they open up to that. And then maybe they become skillful in handling dynamic life and being part of that. And that is then the good news. To change from very stable, clear mind into very dynamic, but also clear mind. To see that the clarity doesn't depend on whether it's active or calm. Doesn't depend on that. The clarity, that is maybe something stable, a It's a quality of mind, and like the other qualities we have talked about. So when we look for the mind, actually we cannot find the mind, we can only find its workings, the workings of minds and the qualities. But the thing which can be called like that, this we cannot find. It's everywhere and nowhere. Cannot say that it has a place, a shape, and so on. Now, when we talk about God, same thing. Let's come back to that. God, Allah, we mentioned in one talk, not with you, but I mentioned Tao. You know, in Chinese philosophy, the ultimate Tao. Yes, it's like that non-dual dimension. And so on, the nature of mind. Call it what you want. There is an experience there. These words, these names point to experiences. And then there is a lot of grasping around these experiences. Many words, and then philosophies around the words. And if you want to understand the world and all these philosophies and so on, you must go back to the experiences. You must go into what was there before the words formed. That's where you find out. So please do this with everything that you are interested in. Some people say their life is dedicated to love. Others say it's dedicated to peace. Some say to justice. Some say to friendship. Some to simplicity. You name it, it's fine. But then you have to go into the quality behind the words. What is it really? What is it really? Awakening, liberation, also, just words. What is it really? If you can't find a mind, what is a liberated mind? If God is not a person, how can he be angry? How can he pardon? How can he be pleased? But maybe there is an experience. What is meant? What is really meant? And I would say much of the struggle, if not all struggle in the world, comes from careless thinking. Carelessly using concepts like I and self and God and whatever, you know, use the other names that you know for it, and so on and so on. Carelessly using them, without feeling into what is behind, without differentiating, without really going into it. This is careless. The Buddha and the Buddhist tradition tries to be careful. And of course, also there sometimes we find belief in words, and we find some sectarian tendencies and so on. We can find that as well. But as a whole, there's always this going beyond the words. Yeah, that is the hallmark of this tradition, because it's a tradition of explorers, which go beyond the conceptual mind. So my talk tonight is about that, challenging the careless thinking, making you interested in knowing, finding out. And it's not good to have someone tell you all the answers and then you believe that. No, no, you don't become really free like that. You have to free yourself by looking through, by looking into all of that. You know, we talk about mother and father. And we have like, as if it was clear what mother and father means. Did you ever look into what that really means? How much projection is connected with that? Wow. Our ideas of mothers and fathers, they tend to become so fixed sometimes. Look into that. What is brother and sister? Feel into it. All these very dear concepts. Friend and enemy. What does it mean? How stable is that? Which are the forces that make one be a mother and another one not a mother? A friend and not a friend? What are the energies, the forces, the qualities? You know, go for the dynamic aspect of everything that you want to get to know. Always look behind the seeming solidity into that which is so alive, so dynamic. We don't have one mother. We have as many mothers as she has different mental states and as we have different experiences with her. Changing all the time. It's incredible. And all of that, this person, we can call her a mother. We can call her like that. That's fine. But she is very alive. And if we open like this to everyone and everything we meet, that which seemed so solid before, as if we knew, we are walking by a tree maybe every day. First we looked, then we know the tree, we don't look anymore. And one day we stop. And we look again. And at that moment, maybe we see, oh, it has changed. A branch has died. Oh, that is a nest of a bird. Oh, you know? And it is like this. One day we stop and we look at our mother as if we didn't know her. And we discover someone we actually didn't know. She can be new and fresh because we are out of our old patterns of looking at the world. And this is so helpful. This is so interesting, this world. You know, this world is incredible when we always have this openness to discover the dynamics behind the seemingly known. So of course we know. We turn right and left, we go this and that, huh? We know our way, we say hello because we know somebody. But the practitioner, in spite of knowing everything just as everybody else, also knows that nothing is ever the same. And that's really, maybe it's my plaidoyer, this is a word. Do you use that in English language? No. How do you say this in English? This is my talk in favor of the seventh parameter, which is called curiosity. Doesn't exist, but I'm very much in favor of declaring it to be a liberating quality. Curiosity, the wish to know. Yes, I'm an advocate of elevating curiosity into the rank of a quality that leads us beyond. Because that's what an explorer needs to have. A researcher needs to have that curiosity. And we want to know how to be free. And that's the curiosity we want to know. We want to know how to be alive in this world, how to be of service to this world. We want to understand. And we want to understand each other. So we need to be curious. And this can only be from a place of not knowing. Curious about the mind. Curious about God and the world. Curious about every person we meet. Doesn't mean we have to all the time talk and ask questions. Curiosity can be a silent one. A silent curiosity, being very receptive to the little changes, to the atmosphere. Sometimes you know a person better by listening to the atmosphere than by listening to the answers. Like this. So I would love to inspire you to be a curious citizen of this universe. Really always interested to learn more. And then life will be fun. And you will also be more and more free. Because the trust, the certainty which we need to be free is to be completely at ease with the undefinable and the unknown. That's freedom. Not to have a lot of knowledge, but to actually be able to die and to go into the unknown, trusting this ungraspable mind, which nobody can find, trusting those qualities of life. Yes. No doubt about that. But it's not knowledge. I hope I make sense to you. It's not an amount of information that we need. It's not one knowledge after the other. It is somehow that willingness, that trust to open to life and not to have, you know, our nails and hooks of security everywhere, you know, our so-called reference points. Yes, the how to be without all these reference points. So I hope I could stimulate your interest a little bit in that path, and now I will be silent. And we meditate together again in this not knowing attitude. May all beings be happy. May they be free of suffering. May they live in that great joy. And then that great equanimity, which is free of all attachment and aversion.